Good evening, planet Earth. Can you hear it? The mating call of jaybirds. It is May the 29th, 2025, Bo Blimp Doc. It's almost 9 p.m. on the Olympic Peninsula. You can hear the whales. You can hear the seabirds singing. Out there on the great ocean, all the fishies swimming out to sea. Indeed, May the 29th, 2025. I have for you a fortunate fortune cookie from A&W's restaurant, you know, here in Port Angeles, the Tendy's Chinese A&W style. Frungo style Chinese food. I do have some intel. I found out from a food inspector, someone who inspects restaurants, a health inspector. I got some of the skinny. And, you know, they don't think Tendy's is too bad, but they do believe they have to cook everything at 200 degrees, and you can figure out what that means, bros and hoes. Who knows? I also found out that the Shell restaurant, the Indian restaurant, the Indian food they serve at the Shell restaurant is quite good, supposedly, and prepared quite well. So that's some advice before I open up your fortunate fortune cookie. Here goes. Oh yeah, it's not cracking open, it's bending open. You all know that's a party foul, but hey. Here goes. Your mind is quick and sharp. Your mind is quick and sharp today. Use it to your advantage. Okay. Mind is quick and sharp. Your teeth are strong. Your eyes can see. Your ears can hear. You wander the forest in search of food. You look for your home brood, and out there on the road, you toad, you got the thirst for the blood flesh. Because your mind is sharp. Everybody knows it. You're gonna take advantage of all the hairless monkeys. Yeah. I don't know about these Tendy's fortune cookies. I'm worried, I'm concerned. This one seems to be telling me that just go ahead and do it because you got a sharp mind and use it to your advantage. But lots of people do that and they're called grifters. And they take advantage of people, kind of like the way I was taken advantage of by the Goat King back in 2016. And it's funny, because that's the conversation I wanted to have with that Anna Merlana person from Mother Jones, is the truth, a conversation about the truth. Instead, she put forth about the same amount of effort as that Seattle Times reporter did back in 2011. Microsoft amalga. Microsoft threatened to sue the Seattle Times. Nobody do no work of. Yeah, it's kind of like the laziest fucking people are journalists at this point. No, I whatever she put in her article was at best a third truth. I won't call it a half truth. Yeah. You're clever. You're smart. You're well-read. Who knows what books, the Rand Corporation, the Brookings Institution, but you're one of those people, you know, that provides advice. And at the end of the day, you might be trustworthy, but you also might be a grifter. So I don't know about this fortune. I think we should ignore it. Next topic. So I have an idea that I've been spinning on pretty much since 2021. And I think it's a better idea than all of this, frankly, JS8 call, FT8, all the digital over shortwave. In fact, I think digital over shortwave might be a limited hangout. And the idea is not that complicated, but when you think about the state of artificial intelligence, and specifically those APIs that exist around something like Python, we're kind of at the point now where even the most garbled message can get an 80 to 90% score on translation to text. So if you can simply improve the behavior of the audio signal, and there's lots of things you could do. It's kind of an interesting topic. I think you could do something like Stego, for example, in addition to increasing the quality of the audio signal. But imagine you took a kind of coarse Stego approach where you record a message and then you start flipping not individual pieces of the message, because frankly, shortwave doesn't have the granularity for that. But how about taking sections of it and flipping it a little bit? And in those flips, you can encode a secret message within the audio. And we're not talking about upper and lower sideband segmentation. We're talking about embedding in an audio signal, a secondary signal, that both parties know how to filter out. And the great part about this game we're playing is it does represent a decent form of encryption. And it technically violates nothing in FCC. But beyond this question, I think it would be cool to simply set up a listening station and just start translating a lot of the stuff, CB radio, shortwave, frankly, only the, you know, audio comms, the comms between people. But I think that would be more interesting than simply recording JSA call. JSA call works, but it doesn't really impress me that much. And I think that maybe this approach is better because it doesn't require a fucking computer. Like, on your side of the game, all you need is a radio. Hell, all you need is a receiver if all you want to do is monitor. And I think there are probably already people doing this. I think the question mark is, would it be worth setting up some type of a website for translating the audio into text, make it part of a shortwave/social media type place, kind of like what I was trying to do with my friend in Utah, but we just didn't have the resources to do. I don't know. It's something to think about another day. Here is an article from the Jerusalem Post. It was published on March the 22nd. Headline, Camel Cover-Up. Negev Desert residents say police are covering up attacks on livestock by IDF soldiers. This was written by Yuval Barnia, and like I said, I think March the 22nd, 2025. Residents expressed dissatisfaction with the Israel police's culture of covering up and said they had faced similar acts of harassment and assault for years. On Friday, Israeli police announced they would investigate the deaths of four camels in the Negev after they were discovered dead and partially decomposed. No shell casings were found on the scene. The residents of the village told Israeli media that the four camels were worth about 80,000 shekels and were found in an IDF training zone. The IDF claimed there was no evidence that the IDF soldiers were involved in the incident. The residents shared their doubts with Israeli media, claiming they had been electronically tracking the camels and that they were alive at least the day before. They claimed this is part of a wider series of hate crimes against the Bedouin community. Residents said they had faced several attacks from masked men in IDF uniforms. One shepherd from the village said he and his wife were attacked by masked men in army uniforms only the day before the camels were discovered at the same location. The resident said the men forced him to hand over all his agricultural equipment, which was then burned. They stole his wife's phone. Okay, so that's more or less the article. There's maybe more to it, but I just want to read that part. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles before we go deeper into the camel issue. Why would you need a law to protect a historical event? And why would you have that law in Germany? Did you guys know that some of the most important historians in the last 500 years were German? Perhaps some of the brightest philosophers, critical philosophers, were German. Some of the greatest mathematicians and thinkers, logicians, you name it, were fucking German. And the implicit idea here that the Germans need help figuring out the difference between the truth and bullshit is probably not the case. It's kind of like the Albert Speer thing. I mean, here's a guy whose job it was to buy Adolf Hitler 3 or 4 more years of the war machine. Because, as I've said before, Germany was actually the last country to adopt a total war economy. Arguably, the United States and the Soviet Union were the first, and possibly, in third place, but closing in, was the United Kingdom. But other than these three, the others, Japan, Germany, Italy, they didn't go to total war until, frankly, it was too late. By 1942, the German army was stalled on the Eastern Front. Yeah, they had the summer offensive, and they got all the way to Stalingrad. But more or less, that was a giant strategic disaster. And it goes to show how kind of idiotic Adolf Hitler was. But what was worse than that idiotic failure was the simple fact that the German economy was producing too many kinds of tanks, too many kinds of bombers, too many kinds of fighters, too many kinds of garbage they didn't need to produce because there was nobody in charge, again, no one helping to organize the war effort. And here walks in Albert Speer. And so in order to believe a lot of shit we need to believe about that historical event, we kind of have to believe that Albert Speer was really sane, really smart, except for one thing. And I can't buy it any longer. But what makes it worse is, why would you need to pass a law? Name one historical event that doesn't start with an H, for which there is a law passed in a reasonably intelligent country that says that you can't ask questions, you can't research it, you just kind of have to fucking assume it's true. And I'm not saying there aren't, dirtbag countries where shit like this happens. But when we think about the quote-unquote Francis Fukuyama good world of kind democracies, then why is it happening there? If something is true, it's true. If it's false, it's false. Historical events throughout time have been abused. In fact, there's one historical event that's being abused right now, and it starts with an H. And it's a historical event that justifies further suffering in the name of suffering. So why would you need to pass a fucking law? Wouldn't people have an understanding of what happened? And if your comeback is, well, they can bury the past and bury the truth, I disagree. I think the truth sort of bubbles up to the surface. The lies. The lies are the things that just are vapor, and they disappear. In my opinion, if the quote-unquote Holocaust were bullshit, the Germans would have been the first to toss it in the trash heap. In fact, that explains why you need the law there. You don't need it in the United States. Most people are just not smart enough to figure this shit out. So you definitely don't need the law here. You don't need it in China because, frankly, they kind of figured out this shit a long time ago. You don't need it anywhere else because there's a lot of countries that already know, as with the moon landing, it's bullshit. But Germany, you need a law. The place, the nearby where it happened, the crux of the great crime of history, you need a law in Germany to remind people, to protect people about something that happened. That sounds dumb, doesn't it? This next article is from Monde Diplo. That's Le Monde Diplomatique. You know, the world is a French thing. And it was published May 2024. I don't know what the date of the publishing is, but it says just May 2024. Headline, Hasbara, The Dark Art of Spinning a War. And this was written by Elaine Gresh. Lie like the devil, boldly and always, Voltaire once advised. Its advice Israel's military leaders have taken to heart, especially over Gaza. What then of the media's duty of tough scrutiny of their claims? It was a textbook display of shamelessness. as rockets traced white lines across the night sky on New Year's Eve last year, Colonel Olivier Rafowicz gave vent to his outrage on the news. For those wondering why Israel has to eliminate Hamas, here's your answer. Hamas terrorists are indiscriminately bombing Israeli cities on the stroke of midnight. As we begin the new year, Israel is duty-bound to eliminate this threat once and for all. There were no reported Israeli casualties, but on 31 December, the IDF's bombing of Gaza continued uninterrupted, causing up to 300 deaths, just like any other day. A few days later, the total number of neutralized Palestinians, at least a third of them children, passed 22,000. Meanwhile, on Christmas Eve, Israel's airstrike on the Maghazi refugee camp had killed 100. About this, Rafowicz said nothing. Rafowicz is a French-born reserve officer in the IDF and former head of the Paris delegation of the Jewish Agency for Israel, which helps French citizens emigrate. Since 7 October, he has been a frequent IDF spokesman on French media, a role he also played in earlier wars against Gaza. In 2015, he joined Avigdor Lieberman's Yisrael Beiteinu party, Israel is our home, at a time when Lieberman, as foreign minister, was considering transferring some of Israel's Palestinian citizens from the country, a crime under international law. Adopting this far-right position has not stopped Rafowicz developing friendly relations with the French government and media. He has seemingly an open invitation to television and radio studios and little fear of being closely questioned. His wife's connections must help. Roxane Roaz Rafowicz is on the executive committee of MEDEF, the French Employers Federation, and heads the Studio Fact Media Group, which works with the national public broadcaster France I just gotta stop. You can read the rest of this because it's important to read this, and as I would say, it's important to do your own thinking. Simply put, Hasbara is a national government strategy of the state of Israel to spread goodwill. On the surface, that's the description they would give you. And listen, every nation on the planet produces propaganda, and I should say every government. Ordinary people don't need it, don't want it, it doesn't help pay the bills, it doesn't, you know, do anything with the price of food. So most of us couldn't give a shit about having it, but governments need it. They need enough people, not everybody, but they need enough people to believe it. So before we single out the state of Israel, let's recognize every government in the history of the world, to include the ones you think were so cool, like the ancient Greeks or the Romans. I don't give a fuck. Maybe you're into the old Scotsman. The fact is, every single fucking government has had public relations. Every government has had propaganda. Every government has paid writers to produce bullshit from the very beginning of time. And so when you ask yourself what the truth is, be fucking careful, because just because it's in a library doesn't make it fucking true. Now, why did I start with the camel story? Well, it's really kind of simple too, right? On social media, there have been a ton of people posting these, posting various types of Israeli propaganda. And again, this is related to Hasbara. And one particular piece of propaganda showed a bunch of Israeli soldiers helping out a camel. And some versions of it show an Israeli soldier that's a good-looking woman. By the way, the Israelis, vis-a-vis Hasbara strategy since 10/7, have been doing the dancing nurse thing. Just about every IDF picture you see shows a bunch of attractive women, very beautiful looking, you know, all of them in their 20s or something. And how can you hate that, right? How can you question that? Not only do you know the truth of 10/7, that the Hamas in paragliders viciously attacked the Nova Music Festival. That's the story, right? And whatever version of that story you believe, you must hold it close to your heart, because what we get into next in the first 6 weeks is the use of 40,000 tons of TNT. That was the first six fucking weeks. About 40,000 tons of TNT. By Thanksgiving of 2023, many parts of Gaza were looking like Stalingrad. So it depends upon what version of the story you want to believe. What's clear to me is they spent zero time doing anything like a proper investigation. In fact, I think it was probably the League of Nations investigating the Japanese invasion of Manchuria was probably the last fucking time anybody gave a shit about investigation when it comes to crap like this. Not since World War II. Nobody gives a fuck. So there was no investigation, just like 9/11. The number killed by the evil Hamas paragliders, very similar to the 9/11 number. We all know there aren't that many Israelis compared to the United States, so oh my God, it's the most horrible thing ever, right? Hasbara produces a version of the story about 10/7, about the state of Israel. It ignores the Stern Gang. It ignores the Jewish terrorism of the 20s and 30s. It ignores a whole bunch of stuff because Hasbara has to sell you the idea that the state of Israel has a divine right from God to murder men, women, and children. And it's not easy, even for crazy people. And a lot of the people in the United States right now are fucking crazy. But even for crazy people, it's not easy to deal with the idea that your government, your dollars, your taxes, your resources, money that could be used to, I don't know, pay for a tutor at a high school, and in many other things, that money's being given to the state of Israel to murder a bunch of fucking people. And once you go down that road and once you recognize that the current rhetoric of Hasbara is pure dehumanization, because they can't hide the fact that they dropped so many bombs at this point, that's kind of impossible. But what they do have to convince you is that these children, these men, these women are garbage. And once they convince you they're garbage, then you're going to support killing all of them. Not everybody, not probably my listeners, but enough fucking people in this country would support it. Because that's how fucking crazy they are. Propaganda, like grifting, like all forms of con artistry, depends upon a partner. And the partner is the person that wants to believe. They want to believe. You can't just lie to people. People think it's easy. It's not easy. You have to give people a lie that enough of them can stomach and attach to. So when it comes to the terrorism thing, you better have decades of movies, TV shows, you name it, talking about terrorists, and then probably even spin up a quote-unquote dry run or rehearsal, World Trade Center, the first hit. And you have to have an evil guy, right? Who you've been funding and setting up, probably during a war with the Soviet Union, right? And you got your Osama bin Laden, you got your bad guy, you got your story, you got your movie, you got your Y2K to get into every fucking security camera system in the country. And then 9/11/2001 shows up. And we know instantly it was Osama bin Laden. We know instantly who did what to whom. It doesn't matter that everybody, every quote-unquote hijacker was from Saudi Arabia. That's irrelevant. We know we have to invade Afghanistan. And then about a year later, we know we have to attack Iraq. Nobody ever quite explained it. Weapons of mass destruction. That sounds fun. In order for propaganda to work, you have to want it to work. You have to believe the terrorist bullshit. And once you do, they got you hook, line, and sinker. They got you by your nose ring. They'll take you down the road of the Iraq War or any other war. They'll say, topple Libya, topple Syria, topple all these countries because of what? Terrorism. Drop tonnage, lots of tonnage on people's heads because of terrorism. Cut off food and medicine. Cut off all support because they're terrorists. And as we've discussed on my podcast before, this is not a new movie. This is not a new show. If you read a newspaper in one of the eastern states in the 19th century in the United States, if you read a newspaper or a weekly, there might be a short story about the frontier. And they'll talk to you about the horrible frontier and, frankly, the natives and how terrible they are. And what they do to each other, and what they do to the good white Christian people. And then if somebody says, well, we need to go take their land, and we need to move them someplace. Well, gee whiz, it just makes sense because I just read a story last week. It's terrible what they're doing. Stealing and killing and raping and murdering. It's a good thing good white Christians don't do that kind of shit. And I know I told you guys, a few days ago, last week, who knows what day it is. I told you that I thought I would veer away from the news completely. I just am having a hard time doing that completely. I want to get there. It's kind of like drinking. My goal right now is not to drink zero. My goal right now is to drink less. But the reality is, even though I've been exercising, even though I can feel the benefit of it, even though it gives me energy and whatever, I'm still left with simple, dreary truths, and I can't really break through them. I can't. I don't have a way through. You could send me an email with all kinds of cat pics. You could send me all the fucking links to videos of cats on YouTube. And I'm having a hard time seeing past simple truths. Things that I can see with my own eyes. Anyways, Hasbara is a strategic campaign of mind control on one level. And if you recognize that for what it is, then if you're a good voter, if you're mega man or mega woman or into the opposition, you should at least recognize that we shouldn't be giving these people money to lie to us. Our government already does that. We don't need more liars. And we probably don't need to kill more people. Like, one thing we could stop doing right now is spending resources on spooled uranium, dustified across the land, killing and murdering people, burning up resources for mass slaughter. These are things that we could stop doing because we don't need to be doing them. Not right now. But if the purpose is to keep people busy and confused because something uglier is in the background, then it all does make sense. It's kind of like the AmeriCorps thing. If you're actually interested in saving money, canceling it a couple months before the end of the school year is really dumb and actually harms kids. But it doesn't amount to much. I think we poop out the amount they quote-unquote saved every few hours. And then the money that they quote-unquote saved, the doje saved, right? The money just goes to killing people that you were told are terrorists. Next topic. Okay, so we've talked about fuzzy events and discrete events, but we have a new one, and I'm going to read an article, maybe most of it, probably all of it, from the New York Post. This article was published a few days ago, yesterday, May the 28th, 2025. It was written by Ben Cost. Headline, three city-killing asteroids could strike the Earth. Three city-killing asteroids could strike the Earth within weeks. Oh my God. Generating a million times more energy than Hiroshima atomic bomb. Good things don't come in threes. Venus is concealing at least three city killer asteroids that could strike the Earth in weeks without warning, potentially wreaking havoc upon our planet before we can react. 20 co-orbital asteroids, space rocks in orbit of two celestial bodies of Venus, are currently known. The authors warned in the apocalyptic study, or arocalyptic, well, that's funny, which was published in the journal Astronomy and Astrophysics. The international research team, led by Valerio Caruba of Sao Paulo University in Brazil, wrote that at least three asteroids, 2020 SB, 524, 522, and 2020 CL1, that circle the Sun in tandem with our twin planet, have unstable orbits that take them dangerously close to the Earth. The Daily Mail reported. Oh, Pop-Up. Thank you, Pop-Up. That's going to help with the asteroids. If this shaky trajectory is shifted only slightly by a small gravitational change or other force, The asteroids could be set on a collision course with our planet, per the study. Co-orbital status protects these asteroids from close approaches to Venus, but it does not protect them from encountering Earth, the researchers warned. Karubo and company came to this conclusion by, you know, using imitation space rocks and magical bouncing balls, frozen torpedo drinks, various types of anal scrumbo. I'm kidding. But they did simulate a range of possible outcomes after watching Pornhub for 36,000 years. Finding that there's a sizable population of low eccentricity asteroids, those previously thought to be harmless, that could be propelled towards the Earth via gravitational shifts and other factors. Wow, crazy. To make matters worse, the aforementioned cosmic rocks' orbits make them almost invisible to earthly detection devices. While scientists at NASA and other space agencies routinely track potentially hazardous near-Earth asteroids, the telescopes can't spot rocks in a suborbital path with Venus due to the sun's glare, which shields them like a cosmic cloaking device, Wyon reported. Due to this interstellar blind spot, I would say interplanetary, but wow, make it even more dramatic. Due to this interstellar blind spot, the Rubin Observatory in Chile would have only 2 to 4 weeks to spot deadly asteroids, leaving us little time if they were on a collision course. For reference, a mission to engineer something that could deflect a killer space rock generally takes years to formulate. Low eccentricity Venus co-orbitals pose a unique challenge because of the difficulties in detecting and following these objects from Earth, the authors wrote in their conclusion. It would be bad news if one of these intergalactic great gravel stones, they're not really intergalactic, they're interplanetary, hit home. Asteroids 2020 SB 524, 522, and 2020 CL1 measure between 330 and 1,300 feet in diameter, making each one capable of destroying entire cities and causing massive fires and tsunamis, the Daily Mail reported. An impact would leave a crater over 2 miles wide and generate 1 million times more energy than the atomic bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima, Japan in 1945. Unfortunately, due to the constraints of terrestrial monitoring equipment, we may have to look to the stars for a solution. We believe that only a dedicated observational campaign from a space-based mission near Venus could potentially map and discover all these still invisible, potentially hazardous asteroids among Venus's co-orbital asteroids, the authors wrote. However, the powers that be better hurry, as researchers predict that co-orbital asteroids' orbits could become unpredictable in just more than 150 years. A blip in the interstellar timescale. I don't know. This article used intergalactic and interstellar to amp up the fear. Okay. There's more to this story. I gotta read another article, okay? Well, I'm not gonna read the whole thing, but this article comes from JPL, that's the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, or Jack Parsons Satanic Lab, jpl.nasa.gov, and the title of the article, again, these links are in the notes, The Science Behind NASA's First Attempt at Redirecting an Asteroid. And by the way, this is a story from just a few years ago. In fact, I'm not going to go into all the specifics. On October the 20th, 2022, the DART spacecraft successfully impacted the asteroid Dimorphos, reducing the period of the asteroid's orbit by 32 minutes. And that was on September 26th, 2022. The scientists considered a change of 73 seconds to be the minimum amount for success. This article has been updated, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to read this article. I thought I might, but I'm not going to. The DART spacecraft had an ion drive. The DART spacecraft was designed to reach maximum velocity and to hit this fucking asteroid. And if you believe the space story, And again, you got to put on your imagination helmet. Then a lot of this is simple Newtonian mechanics. It's a lot like playing pool, which means that you don't need super technology, but you do need really good math. Your math has to be right. A lot of the math that involves making these kinds of predictions, as the previous article pointed out, is quite hard. And although it says in 150 years would be unpredictable, but what they're talking about are some fairly difficult dynamics. And yes, computers are more powerful today than when I was a kid, but there are limits. When we talked about Boblimpdoc covering up a fuzzy event, we talked about things like calderas and economic collapse, earthquakes, permafrost collapse, lots of things are fuzzy events. They have a likelihood using computing power within a window. And frankly, they develop in chaotic ways. So there really is no day. I mean, it's like you can say, well, wasn't October the blah, 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 1929 the day that the Depression started? No. No, that was just a bad day for the stock market. But the reality is the Depression was a number of features of economic reality. And the fact that people lost a bunch of money in the stock market was just one part of it. Or the housing crisis. Did it really start, you know, in 2008 or 2007? Tell you the truth, the very moment they took shelter and started monetizing it is probably when it started. But certainly Fannie and Freddie Mae didn't help. And that goes back years before. Many things that represent fuzzy events fit within the realm of the nonlinear, which means polynomial, exponential, factorial, but definitely not fucking linear. And one of the interesting features of many nonlinear functions is that they can look relatively flat, relatively gradual, until they're not. And then all of a sudden, the tables get flipped over. Something like mystery asteroids that hide behind the sun. I'm joking, but something like mystery asteroids that hide behind the sun and could be here in 3 weeks, and that's the most warning we get, would also be a kind of fuzzy event. But what makes it more interesting is it sounds like a fuzzy event they could engineer, which is to say that they could make a guess based upon what they did. You know, we were told about the DART spacecraft. I got a friend who says that if AI can give you dirty pictures today, then AI was doing this 30 years ago. And again, I like him. He's a good guy. I disagree on this topic because I worked in software engineering. But let's go down his road. If this DART bullshit could be done in 2022, then no doubt it could have been done in 1972. And it really is a question of computing power. The idea that we could send a projectile at high speed and have it hit an asteroid, boom. That's something, if you believe the space story, we've been able to do for a long fucking while, since I was born. But being able to make an accurate prediction of where the asteroid would go, whether it would go away from Earth, whether it would hit Earth or get close enough that it wouldn't matter, it would simply drop in, who knows, for a visit, right? Computing power probably didn't exist in the 70s to do this. So you could build your DART, but you probably couldn't, you know, eat your cake too, right? Haha, that's funny. No, it's not. So this is a weird story. It's a weird story because it pops out of nowhere. It's an interesting story because it could be just a fucking trauma monkey. It could be. It could be a trauma monkey. And here's the other thing, too. A few weeks ago, maybe about a month ago, I read about that dude who wants to set off. He wants to set off a 50 billion ton TNT bomb, a 50 gigaton, not megaton. That was Zarabamba. That was called, yeah, what was that called? The bell ringer? Yeah, Zarabamba was just 55 to 60 megatons. Happy McJumulak, the fun scientist, wants to set off, I think, something like a 5 to 10 gigaton bomb deep in the ocean. But here's the thing. If you could direct an asteroid, like the ones they're describing, to the same parts of the ocean, it would have the same effect. And you wouldn't have all that excess radioactivity. I mean, you'd have some. Anything that drops out of space is kind of radioactive, right? That's why the NASA guys are always showing up to check you out. You know, get off your fucking Apollo spaceship. You gotta be checked for radiation. See if your balls got burned off. But why set off a gigaton bomb? It's a lot like the Google patent for using nuclear war to cool the Earth. Why do that? Why wouldn't you just slam a couple asteroids right up our butt? We couldn't see them coming because they came from behind Venus. And then all of a sudden, they're here and they show up and it is fucking scary. Now, as Dane Wigington has pointed out, there are flaws to the nuclear winter theory of using volcanoes and nuclear bombs and probably asteroids to cool the Earth. It's true, you could probably trigger an ice age with a big enough asteroid. You would probably still kill every person on Earth except for a very small minority of people who might stay alive long enough to live on the Earth again, maybe. It's hard to say. You know, I don't believe the narrative of global warming. I don't believe the narrative of climate change. I don't believe these narratives because they have the same defect. They essentially blame the poor people. And that's the oldest fucking story. Other than using famine to kill the poor, which is also an old story, before you use the famine to kill the poor, you usually blame the famine on the poor. That's how ruling elites worked for a long fucking time, folks. So technically, even though I once said that an asteroid impact would fall into the category of a discrete event, technically this story describes a kind of fuzzy event, which is also something that might have been done on purpose. Like I said, if they could do this in 2022, why not 2012? Why not 2002? So, and it could also just be a trauma monkey. Like the, you know, the fucking murder hornet and all the other crap they feed you to keep you scared about stuff that is not a danger to you. It could just be a murder hornet story. Let's just move on. Move on from the fucking asteroids. Get thee behind me, asteroid. Right? So, I have a couple links to stories about narco saints. And there's two narco saints. And these are like saints. They're not like, I don't know. I don't get into saints because I'm just a Christian. I think that's a lot of Catholic Roman mythology. I think some people consider the disciples saints. I think they were the disciples. If you want to call them saints, you can. But a lot of the saints that come after the disciples are sort of constructed by the Bishop of Rome. And I just got question marks. But these narco saints are saints of the drug dealers, of the cartels. And one of them is named Jesus Malverde. And he was known for having done some miracles. He lived about 120, 130, 40 years ago. He lived in the late 19th century. And if you know anything about the history of Mexico, they've had periods of chaos off and on for a couple hundred years. And the late 19th century was kind of a period of chaos. You know, Pancho Villa... We sent Blackjack Pershing in. So northern Mexico was kind of chaos then. Guess what? It's still kind of chaos today. Jesus Malverde supposedly would return stolen property. Now, I got to tell you something. As miracles go, I think just about any grifter can perform this miracle. But why it's a miracle and the person doesn't get, like, thrown out of town, I don't know. Supposedly, he did some faith healings. And again, this is a thing everywhere. It's a grift in almost every case. And supposedly, he found a woman's cow. Now, I will give this to the Catholic Church. Their criteria for a miracle is exceptionally greater than any of this. So, Jesus Malverde was never made into or canonized as a saint by the Catholic Church. Although these days, given the way things are going, he could end up becoming Saint Malverde. The other saint of the narcos is Santa Muerte. And Santa Muerte is an interesting subject. It's not a person. It's kind of like a quasi-deity. Some people consider it the saint of death or death itself. It's a character that comes from the Middle Ages, from the period of plagues. Now, why am I talking about these narco saints is probably your question. And the answer is, it intrigues me. If you think about the picture you saw on Facebook of the beautiful IDF soldier helping save the camel, and if you think about Jesus Malverde, because in a lot of ways, the Hasbara garbage is a lot like canonizing Jesus Malverde. Except for I think I have more respect for Jesus. If you ever watched that show Breaking Bad, and you know, when the show follows Hank to El Paso, when he's working on the Joint Task Force, and these task force members all know how to speak Spanish, and they've got the little statues on their desk to Jesus Malverde. And then there is, and I don't know what the season is, I think it's season 2, could be season 3, where those, you know, two assassins from the cartel are crawling on their elbows and knees, crawling a distance, and I think it is to get to a place where people worship Santa Muerte, the saint of death. The IDF is being packaged as the warriors for the West. And I think it's worth questioning that argument, is all I would say. Next topic. So this was published in the New York Post. I'm not going to read it, but it's basically about a tribe of Amazonian indigenous people. They're going to sue the New York Times because the New York Times claims that once they got the Elon Musk internet, they got addicted to porn. And I'm going to remind you all of something. The most popular genre of literature in France prior to the Great French Revolution, it wasn't math, it wasn't science, it wasn't Voltaire, it wasn't any of that Enlightenment bullshit. The most popular genre of literature in France prior to the Revolution, the Royal Book Police spent most of their time, and yes, the French government had a Royal Book Police. The most popular genre that they went after is so easy to guess unless you're just kind of dumb. It was pornography. Yeah. Gutenberg printed the Bible, and then he printed The Dirty Nun. And guess which one sold more? I think on people like the Marubo tribe of the Javari Valley. It's a sovereign community of about 2,000 people in the rainforest, and I think about their situation. One of the things you may not know is some of Al Gore's campaigns, his quote-unquote green campaigns, have done tremendous damage to the Amazon rainforest. And of course, he'll say, well, we're producing green fuel, we're raising sugarcane. Yeah. If you follow his line of logic, it'll make it sound like they're helping, but they're not. They're doing the opposite. And so a lot of tribes in these regions that were cut off for hundreds of years, thousands of years, basically had almost no human contact. In the last 50, 60 years, have gone from almost no human contact to people knowing who they are. And then all of a sudden, the internet and everybody can know. But then you realize, well, that pipe goes both directions and your kids can know things. So you're part of this tribe and you're trying to be traditional. And all of a sudden, your kids can figure out, well, wait a minute, mom and dad. There's stuff that, you know, we do. I don't know if I like it because I see how the other people live. And that all of a sudden, that becomes a culture clash, doesn't it? I don't know the angle that the New York Times was coming from in their article. I don't want to read it. I think it's kind of dumb, the whole thing. I think this, too, is kind of a trauma monkey in a way. But it does go to show the age we're living in. Whether it's the Marubo tribe or the Amish or just people that want to live off the grid and just want to be left alone. No matter who those people are, the modernity, the power, the people that control things don't want to leave you alone. And they will do everything they can to break into your world. And if you don't want them to, then they'll simply grind you to dust. Next topic. Dan, why are you talking about Santa Muerte? I don't know. I like the idea of a saint who's a saint because he stole somebody's cow, gave it back to them, and said, hey, look at this miracle. Wow. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Comedy allows us to peer into the abyss of tragedy and then laugh it off. I think that makes sense, but let's move on to the next topic, okay? Because we're running out of time here. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. We were not meant to live because pussies live. We were meant to endure a few brief, brutal years and then explode in a lightning burst, a total burst of fucking glory. We were not meant to live. We were not meant to hang out. We were not meant to wander about back and forth. We were meant to endure a few brief, brutal years, a few brief hard years digging in the dirt for more dirt and rocks, and then all of a sudden we explode. I'm going off to another topic. This one's too weird. You guys, I don't know. I was trying, yeah, whatever. Okay, the beaches are littered with dead octopus and wet pussy. The cat army of Mr. Fantastic, a tabby, is moving on Fort Hooks, named after a German shepherd named Hooks. Skittles will lead the first assault, followed up by Scrambles, the Siamese. Your wet mind star, fire ring, is dry. Dry and forgotten. Bone cave echoes of someone you knew long ago at Catholic school, where the nuns bare bottom spanked you and you could see their nipples getting hard. The masters of infinity control Texas toast-style diners and the meth heads of Dallas. Crossing the border, screw worms are screwing with your aunt's head and the axe thrower Brian White is heading over to just talk. I just want to talk. Modern carving is taking a break from turkey time, snake bakes, and Mr. Charlie style Wyoming biscuit minor position. I have your smartphone. You left it in my bathroom after those four guys got done fucking you. I shoved your phone up my butt. It's weird how they redefine permafrost as frozen for at least 2 years. But this is also a huge grifter business opportunity. You can now sell vegetables from the permafrost, cheeseburgers from the permafrost, ice cream from the permafrost. You can open up a store selling all kinds of frozen goods from the permafrost as long as it's been in the back of your freezer for at least 2 fucking years. That deer you killed a couple years ago that's been in the big freezer, you can now claim it's prehistoric venison. Fuck 'em. They want to believe it. Let 'em. Permafrost. Frozen for at least 2 years. Permafrost chicken strips. Permafrost. Oh my God. Next topic. Frozen for at least 2 years. Of all the retarded stuff that now exists on the internet, along with the Marubo tribe whacking off the big boob pics. And frankly, part of that story too is they were Instagramming and WhatsApping each other and sending each other pictures of their junk. In the tail end of the notes, I have an example of what I think is a fake account. I can't actually prove it, but fake accounts have a bunch of features to them. And frankly, they look like a cartoon. In fact, you'll see so many of these cartoons, you'll recognize it. But one of the things these fake accounts do, other than acting as general honeypots, is they will operate, in the case of an ordinary grifter, as a way to steal money. So all of a sudden, you see Deanne. She's a Christian mom of three. She's a mega head. She believes in the First and Second Amendments. Well, that's great. She's got freedom in there, and she doesn't want any DMs. Well, that's usually the case, because that would be more work for the troll farm. Or for the grifter, you know. And she'll tell you about her pain. She'll tell you about her sick kid. She'll say she started a GoFundMe to raise money for her kid. Her kid's dying soon. She'll post pictures of her kid. In fact, she'll post pictures of her kid in such a way that a decent reverse engineering geospatial algorithm thingy could figure out where she took the fucking picture. And all of it is bullshit. The US Air Force and the NSA operate troll farms in a couple places around the country. Probably one of them is near Vegas and the other one's in Florida. The purpose of a troll farm is to manage lots and lots and lots of fake accounts. And the purpose of these fake accounts is to spread lies. During the COVID, they would push whatever lie they wanted pushed, whatever limited hangout. And they would have tons of fakers, basically airmen, contractors, playing multiple roles. As I pointed out, more for the last more than 10 years, the U.S. Air Force has had software in the late 2000s that allowed them to manage thousands of fake accounts. Tens of thousands. The very second that Facebook and Twitter came into existence, there were already fakers. And it's a big part of the internet anyways. You know, I was talking to a person this last weekend about dating, and I hate dating. I don't do much of it at all. But the dating apps are terrible. In fact, one of the reasons why I ended up in the situation with the Goat King back in 2016 is because of a dating app, Awake.dating. I wish I never would have gone to that fucking place. I wish I'd never met those fucking people. But I tripped and fell into that necessary camel trap where you can take a picture of the IDF saving camels from their camel trap. I fell into that camel trap, you know? And like propaganda, it was also partially my fucking fault because I was ready and willing to be taken advantage of. It was a couple years after my divorce, and I was as rudderless as you can imagine. And somebody saying, hey, you could be a CEO of a big high-tech company, and you could live in Ireland and shoot longbows. And the rest of the story came by the time I got there, and it was quite fucking terrible. But it appealed to this idea that it wasn't over for me yet. There are so many fake accounts on every single platform that the best advice I can give you is be smart. If you can't verify that person's existence, then don't take medical advice. Don't give them money. Don't do a lot of things. In general, if they play the game with you, like, oh, you look so handsome in your picture, in general, those people are thousands of miles away. That's a true statement. They're grifters, probably in Pakistan or India, or in the United States, and they're probably thousands of miles away. But what's just as important is that they'll tell you they wish they weren't, but they're thousands of miles away. But if they weren't so far away, they would drive over to your house tonight, and you could talk, you know. And for lonely people staring into the darkness who feel as if there's no hope for them, these grifters work. Deanne is bullshit. There are so many Deannes. There are so many of these bullshit accounts. Honeypots in every form. You know, the old man, the soldier, every caricature you can imagine. And they have it all mapped out. And all this designed to fuck with you. The IDF and Hasbara have a shit ton of trolls. And their whole purpose in life is to tell you how terrible the fucking Palestinians are and how good they are. Just be careful. I have no better advice. If you can't see, go to the notes and you look at that picture, that screenshot. And if you can't tell that account is bullshit, I cannot help you. There are features of it that stand out, but you have to have a kind of intuition. It's sort of like discernment. And maybe this is a prayer thing, although my prayer's been terrible, so I don't think that's the case. I've just seen so many fake accounts. They just stand out to me. It's sort of like the Matrix. I don't see the code any longer. I just see, you know, fake bitch, fake dude, fake soldier, fake everything. Yeah. So it is Thursday, May the 29th, 2025, Bo Blimp Doc. I hope you guys are doing okay. I doubt that anybody's situation is that much better than mine. and mine isn't so great. But we're not dead yet. We can still breathe. We can still think. There are still options. I do not believe it's the end of the world, so don't even remotely focus on that. Could it be the case that they're lying to us about a lot of spooky shit? Yeah. Name a fucking century when the powers that be didn't do that. Tell me a time when they didn't warn you of things that were bullshit and keep from you things that threatened your fucking life. No, that's pretty much the MO of every crooked government in the last 7,000 fucking years. Have a great rest of your Thursday.